Hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you. I always look forward to our times together. They are special to me as we get to meet with each other and most importantly get to meet with the Lord and His Word, have this opportunity to grow in our not just our head knowledge of Him, but our heart knowledge of Him as well, so we can love Him and trust Him and walk with Him. I'm blessed by these times. I'm thankful for all that Jonathan and Nikki do to make them possible. And I pray that you're blessed by these times as well. I hope that you're having a great day, whatever day it is that you're watching this. As I'm filming this right now, it's beginning to clear up. It was raining this morning and cloudy and drizzly most of the morning, but it's starting to clear up. But again, the best part of our day, the best part of any day is meeting with our Lord. And so we're here to meet with Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the day that you have given to us. Lord, for the rain that you have provided now, Lord, the clearing skies. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Father, thank you that you invite us to know you and to walk with you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit that interprets your word. And Father, this time where we can come together before you, Lord, open our minds and our hearts. Lord, help us to understand this psalm that we're going to look at. But Father, help us to know you through it. Lord, help us to know you by heart. Help us to know your ways. Lord, help us to walk with you, to trust you, to love you. Lord, to cling to you, to be near to you. Speak to us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, you know, I want you to think of a time in your life where you have faced some major crisis. In fact, as you may be there right now, and, you know, you've encountered some major problem. There are very serious consequences, and very frankly, there's an urgency in your need for it to be solved. You can look back at such times. Again, you may be there now. It was or is a very serious situation, almost an emergency, in fact, a critical situation, desperately needing God to work and to move and really just feeling this burden for it to be now. We've all been there, and again, you may be there now, and this is exactly where we see David in Psalm 70. Now, we don't know the historical context of this psalm. We can't look to a specific event, but it's obvious that it is a crisis, that it is, in fact, an emergency. It's a very short psalm, but look at what David was inspired to write here. Again, the crisis, the weight of the situation is obvious, but also the urgency. Think about what we see in Psalm 70. O God, hasten to deliver me. O Lord, hasten to my help. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. It's obvious. David is facing a major crisis, and again, we don't know specifically when this is. But David is obviously there facing a major problem, and there's an urgency in his prayer, an urgency in needing God work and move. You may have noticed in verse 1, he prays for God to hasten to work and to deliver him. That is, he says it twice in that one verse. You drop down the very first part of verse 5, or closer to the middle of verse. Again, he says, hasten to help me. He also says, do not delay. And when you look at the very last phrase of verse 5, the very last phrase of the psalm. And so David here is facing a major crisis, and he has this great need, and there is an urgency in seeing God work and move. Well, as we look at that, what do we learn from David? How can we handle such times? Because we'll face them all again. All of us will face such a time again. And again, you may be in one right now where there is some major crisis, major problem, serious consequences, and you're desperately needing God to work and move at this very moment. What do we need to do in those times? Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to trust God's plan. Look back at verse 4. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Now, I know we look at that and we think, well, that's David's prayer unto God, which that's true. It's a request. But remember, it is an inspired request. These are inspired words. So this is what God himself, in fact, inspired upon David to pray. And if God inspired David to pray, that means it is in fact going to be the answer to the prayer. So it's an inspired request, so we can have the confidence that this is in fact God's will, plan, and purpose for David. And God was going to work in just this way, as you see in that prayer, that would glorify his name and in fact would bless his people. And the reality is God always works in that way. You think about what we read in Jeremiah 29:11. You probably know it very well, may even have it memorized. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for well-being and not for calamity, that you might have a future and a hope. It's a beautiful psalm. But go back and read the context. Jeremiah was inspired to write that to those who had been taken away in captivity and they were in Babylon. And in fact, they would be in Babylon for 70 years as the nation was in exile. It was not a good situation. It was a very difficult situation. They wanted to go home. They wanted out of Babylon. They're wondering, you know, is there something good that's going to come out of this? When will something good come out of this? And God confirms to them that in the midst of all of it, he has a very good plan. As we go through those times, those crises, and there's this great need of seeing God work and move, and there's an urgency. We need him now. We need to remember that God, in fact, has a wonderful plan. You think about what we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now we need to remember that God's concept of good is decided and determined by his eternal love, his eternal wisdom, the perfection of his understanding, the perfection of his power. That's not to say that we understand it at any given moment in time. In fact, as many times we don't like what God has done. That's because in our limited understanding, we don't see the eternal perspective. But we can rest in the fact that God's plan is eternally perfect. God's plan is in fact perfect based upon his perfect character. We can in fact trust him. And when we're facing a difficult situation, even one that we need answered now, we need to remember that God's wisdom and love has made a perfect plan. You think about what we see over in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. When we're in a crisis, and you may be there now, if you're not, we all probably will soon will be. That's the fact of life on this earth. We need to remember that God does in fact have a good plan, and we need to trust and rest in the fact that he has that plan. But not only do we need to trust God's plan, we also need to trust God's control. You know, we talk about God having a plan, you know, we're looking forward and looking ahead to that plan being fulfilled. But coupled with that, we need to always remember that God's in absolute complete control of the situation at this very moment. And he's taking it, yes, to his solution, that perfect plan, but he's in absolute control. You think about what we read in verses 2 through 3. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. You know, it's interesting. You see, you know, the animosity toward David. The middle of the verse, they actually wanted him dead. The end of verse 2, they delighted when David was hurt. Look, very first part of verse 3. You know, that they rejoice when David stumbled or fell. You see there. But the reality is, in spite of all that animosity toward David and the desire to hurt him, and obviously the influence that they apparently have, because this is a very difficult situation, they couldn't do anything that God didn't allow them to do, and they were never outside of God's perfect control to, again, work out that perfect plan that we just talked about. In every situation, whatever it is we're facing, whatever you're facing right now, God is in fact in complete control. You think about what we see in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You think about what we read over in Isaiah 43. Look at verses 1 through 3. But now, thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will there be a flame to burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. The wonderful presence of God as He is there and His absolute control of the situation. You think about when the disciples were in the boat with our Lord, how they were afraid because of the storm, and they didn't really realize the one that they were in fact there with. You think about what we see in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. When He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus Himself was asleep. And they came to Him, woke Him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. And He said to them, Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey them? He was in fact with them. He was in absolute, complete, and total control of the situation. We need to remember God's control. We need to trust His control. But then lastly, we need to trust God's timing. Now again, as we look at this psalm, we see David's sense of urgency as he was facing this problem, whatever it was. And we can all relate to God, to David. You know, we want the problem solved now. And you know, many times we're facing a very difficult situation with serious consequences. And the longer it goes, the worse it gets. But we need to, in fact, trust God's timing. Again, you see the urgency that David had in verses 1 and 5. Oh God, hasten to deliver me. Oh Lord, hasten to my help. Verse 5, but I'm afflicted and needy. Hasten to help me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. But you know, something we have to realize is that a large part of God's perfect plan involves the perfect timing of when that plan is in fact fulfilled. It's a huge component of it. And God will do the absolute right thing, the absolute perfect thing, in the absolute perfect time. You see this in all of Scripture. You think about Abraham waiting for Isaac. You think of all those years, you know, the promise of a nation coming out of Abraham. In fact, nations coming out of him. He didn't even have a child yet and had to wait 25 years for the birth of Isaac. And yet in all those years, you think about what God was doing. Growing and refining Abraham, perfecting his faith, using Abraham as an illustration of the life of faith, using Abraham and the receiving of Isaac as a picture, as an illustration of saving faith and what it means to walk by faith in the Lord. You think about it. We read that, and I have no doubt through all those years, Abraham just kept wondering when, in God's perfect time. You may be in a situation. You've prayed about it. You know that God is going to work and move. You might not know how, but you know He will. And you're wondering when? In His perfect time. In fact, as an example, even better than the birth of Isaac, is in fact the birth of our Lord. You think about what we read over in Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law in the fullness of time, when the time was ripe, when the time was in fact right. At the perfect time, God sent forth his son. And you can do all kinds of studies on that, politically, religiously, culturally. It's the perfect time for the Messiah to come, because God moved all of human history to that point. God's timing was perfect. Just as his timing will be perfect in your situation. If you're in one right now, and next time we all face one, we need to remember that God will work and move in the perfect time, the perfect way, in the perfect time. God's timing is, in fact, perfect. We need to trust his timing. We look at the psalm, David was in a crisis. We can all relate to that. We've been there. We'll be there again. You may be there now. But David needed to remember, as we do, that God had a plan. God was in control, and God's timing was perfect, and that he could rest in and trust God in the meanwhile. When we're going through those times, we need to remember that God has a plan. He's in control. His timing is perfect. If you're in one of those situations today, God has a plan. He has a purpose in what he's doing. He's in absolute control. The waves will not be 1 inch higher. The winds will not be 1 mile per hour faster or greater than what he allows them to be. He's in absolute control. And God will bring about his plan in his perfect timing. You can trust and rest in him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you so much, O Lord, that you are a God whom we can trust. Lord, in every situation, Father, you have a plan. You're in control. And your timing for bringing about your perfect plan, oh God, is itself perfect. Lord, may we trust you. May we rest in you. Oh God, may our eyes be set firmly on you. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you do have a good rest of the day. And if you are going through a time of difficulty and adversity, remember David in this psalm. God has a plan. He's in control, and his timing is perfect. And may you rest in him as you go through this day.